New day, refreshed, blank slate, Lord, and we just want to start this day with you, Lord. And so we invite you to speak to us, touch us, fill us up, Lord, that we would receive your new mercies every day, Lord. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to read from Proverbs, reading from verse 7 to verse 12. So Proverbs 24, verse 7 to 12. Wisdom is too exalted for a fool. He does not open his mouth in the gate. One who plans to do evil, men will call a schemer. The devising of folly is sin, and the scoffer is an abomination to men. If you are slack in the day of distress, your strength is limited. Deliver those who are being taken away to death, and those who are staggering to slaughter. Oh, hold them back. If you say, "See, we did not know this," does he not consider it who weighs the hearts? And does he not know it who keeps your soul? And will he not render to man according to his work? Amen. Okay. Verse 7, it says, wisdom is too exalted for a fool. So it's kind of an interesting observation, which is to walk in God's wisdom, to follow his instructions, his guidance, his ways, a fool would perceive that as it's very lofty. Like as in it's too much. I don't know if you've ever kind of observed people would respond in that way. It's like, oh, like, I don't know. Maybe someone is going through a situation and you can see it's not wise. And so what do? You quote them scripture because that is our foundation, right? That's what we follow, the scripture of God. And when you quote that scripture to them, they're like, oh, you're so, come on now, you're so holy. Can you just be practical? Right? Have you ever had that? They're like, oh, who do you think you are, Pastor Kenny? Can you stop quoting scripture and be practical? That's what a fool does. They feel like, and that's how they perceive it, and so they don't follow it. And then it says, he does not open his mouth in the gate. And so he's talking about a fool. So the context, what does this mean? It means, in that context, the gate is where wise people, elders, would come together because the gate is the entrance, right? It's where all this foot traffic is, it's busy. And so if you were to make an announcement and share, you would go to the gate. And it says, a fool does not open his mouth in the gate. In other words, if you're foolish, who's going to listen to you? Right? That's just very practical. You don't go to a fool for advice. You don't listen to a fool. In other words, if you're a fool, they're not going to be the one to speak up and share because they're not walking in that wisdom. Now, that seems obvious to as a person who would not listen to a fool, but that you should take it also another way, which is if you want to be heard, if you want a platform, if you want to have a voice, you must be wise, right? If you want to be heard, and Pastor Navarro's sermon kind of touched on that, which is, you know, if you want a platform to be heard, if you want to evangelize, people need to perceive you as someone of excellence, of competence. And then like, you know, if you're successful in life, you're really good at what you do, then as a follow up, or I don't know, anyway, is that people would be like, oh, if they're doing well in this area, then if they're talking about their faith, maybe there's something to it. And so it's important that we, you know, pursue excellence, pursue wisdom. Verse 8, it says, one who plans to do evil, men will call a schemer. The devising of folly is sin, and the scoffer is an abomination to men. Okay, so when we talk about sin, that's when we, you know, not just think it, but also follow through with it. You know, temptation comes, and oftentimes that's what happens, and we fall into sin. Right? But then there's also, okay, I should say, there's two ways we fall into sin. One, it's just impromptu, it's unplanned. You know, things come up and we mess up. Or it's premeditated. Right? Like, it's not just a sudden urge or a sudden circumstance. It's, we've been mulling and thinking over it. And here it says, it's not just even if you commit the sin, but even planning it, scheming it, that's a sin. And that kind of, this would also support, you know, what, because this is Old Testament, this is the Proverbs, but what Jesus says, it's not just the action, it's the heart. That's a sin, right? You know, we know Ten Commandments, murder, that fulfillment of the action is a sin. And then Jesus challenges you. It's what leads up to it is also a sin. Having that anger, that unforgiveness is also a sin. And the result of, I guess, holding on to that anger and unforgiveness, that is the result that can happen. But all that is sin. And so, yeah, let the Holy Spirit speak to you right now. Is there anything, maybe you're not committing sin, but have you kind of schemed for something? Your thoughts towards another person, a colleague, a boss. Could it be even with lust, right? The way you perceive certain things. And it says the scoffer is an abomination to man. And so abomination, that's like the worst thing you can be. And the scoffer is someone, in other words, you're rejecting God's wisdom. That's the scoffer. And when you are planning for sin, scheming for sin, right, you, in essence, are rejecting God's wisdom. And you're aligning yourself with your flesh and your desires. And so at that point, maybe you're not full, like, you know, I think we can, oftentimes you hear people, like, they might say, like, oh yeah, I love God, I'm a Christian. Those are the verbal allegiance that they have. But how about really the way you live your life and the actions that you take? Do they actually align and abide by God's will and design or not? Verse 10, it says, if you slack in the day of distress, your strength is limited. So this is just making the observation, and it's also for us, is how do you know if you're strong? How do you know when you're strong? How do you know, your faith is strong? How do you know you're, quote, spiritually mature? How do you know that? It's when you're stressed. When things get difficult, when circumstances are hard, when things don't work out as you hope they would do, when people come against you, when there is not enough, what is your response? It's only in those moments when you're tested, stressed, that you know actually how strong you are. Here it says, it shows, I guess, how weak you are, right? But in the inverse, you can also reveal how strong you are. And we see this, you know, I guess the most prominent example is Job, right? He was tested. And it's, whenever this happens, this testing, this stress, like, why does it happen? I don't know. But I think oftentimes it's for us. Sometimes we don't know our strength. We oftentimes will think we're stronger than we actually are. And God, this is when we get humbled, right? We're so reliant on our capabilities. And then we lose our success. And then it shows where our strength really was. It was not actually in God. It was in the circumstances. And in the opposite, sometimes we're actually stronger than we think we are, right? Which is, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. And then, you know, and thus what it looks like in your life is you don't initiate so as much as you would. You don't step out in faith. And then God puts you in a circumstance, like sometimes you go to a mission trip, for example. You don't think you can do it. And then you're stressed and you're asked to do this stuff and you do it. You obey. And it's like, hey, I can. In God, of course. And so I think oftentimes one of the reasons we're tested like this is for us to recognize where we are in our strength and in our faith. Of course, always, it's the revelation is so we know where our strength and faith is in God, not in ourselves. The worst thing to happen is, yes, oh, I went through this difficult situation and I worked really hard and I was able to do it. Sometimes I pray kind of funny, like, I almost like, you know, I want God, I see the way people are and they're doubling down in their own strength. And part of me is like, oh, I hope it doesn't work out. Because if it works out, it's just reinforcing, rely on your own strength. But God is actually always very gracious. And he does, he's in the situation and he reveals himself. All right, finally, verse 11. Deliver those who are being taken away to death and those who are staggering to slaughter. Oh, hold them back. And so, deliver those. This verse is making the case for us to deliver those. In other words, save, help those who are taken away to death and staggering to slaughter. So in other words, if someone is, you see, like, you know, we earlier it just talked about our sin, right? We need to take care of the sin and the scheming and the planning in our lives. If you see it in other people's life, right? For example, again, like anger, you see unforgiveness in their life, and we know what unforgiveness will lead to. We know what unchecked lust or temptation of the flesh will lead to. It could be even materialism, right? Or doom scrolling. We know what that leads to, right? Unfruitfulness and sin and thus death. That's for us, we need to care of. But it's also instructed, if you see it in other people, you are to deliver them. It says not just deliver them from death, but if they are staggering to slaughter, right? It says hold them back. So we are supposed to do something about it, even if we observe it in others. And especially in the context of us as Christians, where we're adopted into God's family, we are brothers and sisters, there's even more accountability because we're family, right? What kind of family claims they love each other if the other person is, you know, about to do something and you just let them. It's like, oh, well, at least I'm not walking in sin. What kind of family is that? And then in verse 12, you know, we make some, it's basically these excuses. We did not know this, right? We did not know this. And it's like, well, you gotta, I mean, basically, at the end of the day, you are accountable for your brother and sister. And it says, do not render to man according, and will he not render to man according to his work? So what you do, what you don't do, you're accountable for. What you do, you're accountable for. And what you don't do, you're also accountable for. And so you're accountable for your brother and sister. And just because you're, you know, not committing a sin is not enough. We're to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul. And so that deals with ourselves. But we're also to love our brother as well. That's also part of God's command. So invite Matt up as we go before the Lord. And I think especially at the end, being accountable to your brother, it's not that it's hard. I think it's just a lot of work, or that's what it feels like. Right? Like, we're already dealing with ourselves. We're so already burdened and overwhelmed by our lives. To have to take care of someone else's life just seems like, oh, so tiring, so much. But that's what's on God's heart. That we would take care of not just ourselves, but take care of each other. And the inspiration, of course, is Jesus, who had a perfect life with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and yet he inconvenienced himself to come down to this earth and save us from our sins. We were walking to our demise. That was our trajectory. And he bothered himself, not just bothered, but he loved us so much that he would come give up his life for us. And so, if maybe the idea of inconveniencing yourself to help others, to get messy in other people's lives, what is the motivation? Hopefully, it's love. That's the motive. It's not just the right thing to do. Hopefully, it's love. You really love your brother and sister. You love your church, your community, and when things get bad and messy, hopefully your response is, I want to get involved. I don't want to just take a step back and, I don't want, actually, you know what these type of people are called? Peacemakers. And so, as Matt leads us, you know, maybe there's someone, there's a situation you're aware of. I mean, life is messy. There's always something, I think. And if there's something, like, just pray about, like, maybe what and how God would like you to get involved, right? We're not trying to meddle, of course, but we're trying to, but the point is love, restore our brother, sister, restore the relationships and the situation. Let's go before the Lord.
If my heart is overwhelmed, can I hear your voice? I hold on to what is true, though I cannot see. But the storms of life, they come, and the road ahead gets deep. I will lift these hands in faith. remind myself of all that you've done and the life I have because of your son. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours, I am forever yours. Mountain high or valley low, I sing out and remind my soul that I am yours, I am forever yours. And my heart is filled with hope, and every promise comes my way. Upon me, staying desperate before you, God, staying humble at your feet. I will lift these hands in faith, I will believe. I remind myself of all that you've done and the life. Down and set me free. I am yours, I am forever yours. Mountains high or valley low, I sing out and remind my soul that I am yours, I am forever yours. I am. All my days, Jesus, I am yours, I am yours. All my days, Jesus, I am yours. Oh, I am. My days, Jesus, I am yours. I am yours. I am yours. All my days, Jesus, I am
Let's come to the front. Let's gather to pray together. Please grab a chair on your way up.